better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
877-377-6963 is the number to call and to text in. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Skip is in Bella Vista. What's going on, Skip?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Pretty good, man. Skip. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. You know, I think what a lot of people don't realize is by NCAA rules, this team only gets like 4 or 5 hours a week to practice. And you cannot... Jefferson's
more
than
that. It's 20. It's 20 hours a week.
It's 20 hours a week.
It's 20.
I thought it was only that, but I mean, you don't have time to your scout team quarterback is not going to get a lot of time with the first team, and your third string quarterback certainly not going to get much time with them, especially when you can't make a decision on who you're going to start from the top two quarterbacks. You know, those guys aren't ready to play. Would you really want to put Jefferson in against Alabama?
No. I've been against that. I was against it playing against Auburn and Alabama. But I am totally for him playing in the last four games of the year. Not starting. I'm not saying he should start and play the whole game. I'm just saying we should see him. There should be some RPO packages that can put the full Chad Morris offense on display. That's what I'm saying.
That might be okay, but man, I think ruin his confidence. I think he's ruined the confidence of both these other quarterbacks.
Well, Skip, here's the thing. You mentioned the scout team. Well, KJ Jefferson's been running the scout team, and a lot of these teams they've been playing are RPO offenses, right? RPO run based quarterbacks. So if they put something like what their opponents are in, I mean, how difficult is that going to be for K.J. Jefferson, who's been practicing that against the ones? That's the thing. Arkansas is not a stellar – we'd all agree Arkansas is a below-average defense in this league, middle of the pack to below middle of the pack. I don't think any of us – I'm probably being kind. Mm-hmm. The coaches see what he's doing in practice against Arkansas's ones, so they got a good idea of how he could play against – Mississippi State or Western Kentucky, LSU, based on how he's doing against the ones. I mean, that's the logic I'm using, at least.
Yeah.
And how effective if he can't get any yards against this number one offense in the RPO, then how's he going to get any yards against Mississippi State or LSU's?
Well, you know, I read where a lot of people about Jefferson have said, like, he's a 4.4 guy. He's not. He's a 4.7 speed. He's not a fast quarterback. He's not a runner. That's not what he is. He's a passer. No, he's more like similar to what we have now. He's not going to go out there and beat somebody by outrunning them. That's not going to happen. Jones kid or Chad Morris's son, when he comes here, neither one of those guys are ever going to start. They're never going to be the answer here. I think you know that, and I know that. I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't expect either one of the Morris's to be here next year myself. It's just a bad thing. I got to be sitting in real bad with a lot of the fans over all this. This is the way I feel. I appreciate you taking my call.
Well, I appreciate your phone call, Skip. You know, at this point with the, like for the quarterbacks, for instance, the reason I know that we bring up John Stephen Jones is not a matter of, he's just the other quarterback that's different, so throw him in there. Honestly, it's because during fall camp, we were told by the coaches that John Stephen Jones looked really good, and he was one of the better quarterbacks at leading the team down the field for touchdowns. And it's just a matter of, okay, so not saying that he's the best quarterback, but he has an element about him. he at least has an element of being able to lead the offense down and scoring, at least in fall camp, and was good enough to at least get a mention. So why not give him a shot? Why not give him a shot? See what he can do.
Skip's right about his speed.
Which speed? Whose speed?
Jefferson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, before seven, still.
4.69, according to 247 Sports.
That's still a very fast quarterback.
Huh?
Still very fast for a quarterback. And my goodness, Cam Newton was pretty fast, and he ran like a 4.6. So, I mean, I'll still take a 4.7 quarterback. And again, he's not going to be Matt Jones where he's burning safeties. You just need a guy that can move quick.
According to 247 Sports, that was a 2018 speed figure. So I don't know what he is now. But you're not going to shave more than a tenth off at this point. But nonetheless, I get your point. He's not a burner.
Yeah. But who is a burner? Like, how many quarterbacks do you see just run for 80 yards runs like Matt Jones used to do? I mean, just those don't happen. Like, you just need a guy that can move his feet quickly in the pocket, be able to make snap decisions, and when the coverage breaks down or when the coverage is really good and then the defensive line's coming after you at all sides, you're able to step up in the pocket and either A, make a throw, or B, run for it and get some extra yardage. I mean, that's what you're needing. And then with the RPOs, at least having the option of your legs. Because right now, with whether it's Hicks or Starkle, there is not one single threat of either of those guys taking off running. There's not at all. Like, if you're a defense and you're going up against Arkansas, are you even planning on preparing for the RPO where the quarterback will run with it? I mean, maybe a couple plays here and there, but it's definitely not going to be a threat. So you'll always just focus in on the running back. Because even if the running back doesn't get it, neither Starkle or Hicks are athletic enough or are fast enough to really beat you with their legs. So, and that's been something that I know that when Clay, we've had him on, he's talked about, and many people talk about why the KJ Jefferson element is so fascinating and why it keeps getting brought up is because if you're going off of who has the best legs, who's the quickest, who's the fastest, who could be the actual threat with the RPO, it'll be KJ Jefferson. He's built for it. He's a big enough quarterback. He's a fast enough quarterback to do it. So why not try it out? See how it goes. Maybe that could be the kicker. But as a few people are texting in, like Ty from Fayetteville says, John Stephen Jones ran a 4.640. Hey, you know, that's what Brandon Allen did, and he can at least have that element to you. So I think that's also why people are wanting to see a change of quarterback, not just because of the wins and losses and the way it's looking. I know that's a huge factor of it. But just to see, hey, what could one of these quarterbacks do with the threat of their legs? The guys that are actually fast enough to do it, what could they do? Because as Arkansas knows better than anybody, over the past 10 years, what offenses have beaten you down the most? What has been the most frustrating games to watch for Arkansas defensively?
It's been going up against quarterbacks.
Exactly. Yeah. So why can't Arkansas try that against somebody else?
All I'm saying is he has been the scout team quarterback from everything we've heard, right?
Mm-hmm.
So at least the coaches know if he's not effective against Arkansas's number one defense in practice, how do you think he's going to fare against other SEC defenses that are clearly better? So that's part of, I'm sure, their evaluation of when to put him in. Obviously, they have four games, don't burn a red shirt, all of these things that are, to the untrained eye, very obvious. But to the trained eye that gets the access, they know how he's doing against what I consider a below-average SEC defense right now. Average at best. And if he's moving the chains and he's getting first downs against those guys, you got to give him a shot. If he's struggling to be effective in a practice environment against that defense, then you know your answer already.
Yeah, you know now, that it's bad.
You can come back to me and say, well, when the lights come on, some guy, Matt Jones was different when the lights were on. Yeah, maybe.
And that's why you want to put him in a position at some point in time this season in the final four games to see what he can do.
So, and I think you have to.
Do you think
it would be coaching malpractice if you did not?
Do you think we see KJ Jefferson or John Stephen Jones first?
KJ Jefferson. Because how many calls have we got demanding John Stephen Jones play?
No calls.
How many have we gotten that KJ Jefferson play?
No. A ton. But I'm asking.
And I'm going to tell you, Morris has to appease the fan base to a degree. And I know that's not the job of a coach, but he's coaching for his job right now. I believe that. When Hunter Yurecek's consistently showing up to your Monday pressers, you're coaching for your job, bud.
And John Fagg, apparently yesterday, yep, showing up as well.
Yeah, when senior administration is in the room when you're speaking, they're back there by the soundboard like the guy in Forrest Gump, ready to pull cables at a, yes, moment's notice.
That's right.
You know.
Yeah, I never saw a Jeff.
And that's all I got to say about that.
Yeah.
Can't hear ya.
Yeah. They're ready. Well, that's, since that happened yesterday, that's a matter of a question of, you know, is that for support or is,
well,
that for threat?
That, I don't know. Yesterday was not the first time Yurecek's just wandered into the media room on a Monday.
No, but that, I believe, is the first time that John Fagg was
that there. That part, yes. But
so, I mean, who's going to be next? He's going to be strolling.
Steinmetz next.
I'm about to say, is he going to come in there? You know, the head of the journalism department? I don't know. Larry Foley's going to step in? I don't know. But yeah, you never want to see that for sure.
So,
but do you think KJ Jefferson will see first before John Stephen Jones?
Maybe that's what I hope, but yes, that makes more sense to me.
No, I hope. I hope so too. But at this point, man, I don't know. Honestly have no idea.
Yeah. Do they?
That's the bigger question. It's okay if I don't know.
I think they do.
I think it's definitely important that they know.
Yeah. Hey, brought to you by World of Wireless, 877-305-DISH. You can lock in your price for 2 years right now when you make a move to DISH. Plus, get a $200 Visa gift card when you sign up with WOW right now. And you get local installation. And you can ask about a tailgater unit. Now, what you can do is Ben can get you fixed up with this. The right equipment in your home that you can take with you on the road. And all you need is one of the right receivers that works with the tailgater unit. And you can get one of these when you sign up right now with DISH from World of Wireless. The tailgater unit is the easy-to-use 8-pound cube that you can pack in your trunk. No DISH, LNB, no tripod, no finding, you know, south 144 degrees anymore with a compass to get your TV working at deer camp, at the football game, or wherever you go. You just set this thing out. Anywhere you got power, you got TV now. You know, if you got power on your boat, you can use this to watch TV on your boat. Makes it really easy. 877-305-DISH. Ask about tailgaters and lock it in your price for 2 years with World of Wireless. 877-305-DISH.
Here's an interesting question from Brad in Mountain Home texting in on our Cherokee Casino hotline saying, what would the offense look like if Ty Story was still here? Would it be the same? Would it be better or really worse? You think it'd be the same?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it'd be any better. I don't think any reason to
think
why it would be
better. When
you say
what it look like, hang on. Are we talking about points and first downs and scoring, or are we talking about the structure of the offense, and would it be more run-based with the quarterback and more RPOs and that kind of stuff?
I think he's referring to just as far as production of the offense. Like, would the points be different? Would the yardage be different? Would it be more effective?
You know. Perhaps. I think Ty Story, if he had been given all the snaps from the get-go last year, I think last year's offense would have been different, and he wouldn't be playing at Western Kentucky today.
Mm-hmm.
They messed that whole deal up in camp last year.
Big time.
Because they fell in love with a big arm and all that stuff of Cole Kelly that was, you know, he wasn't the guy. They just mismanaged and misjudged that situation.
And now he's at Western Kentucky, mm-hmm, and being the starter.
4-0 as a starter there.
4-0. And he comes to Arkansas later this year. Mm-hmm. Man, but that's an interesting question, Brad, not because I think for sure that if Ty Story was here, it'd all be different. But it is an element to where it was like, hey, and I was one of the people that said this because it seems so obvious. You have completely and totally upgraded at the quarterback position because you got rid of Cole Kelly and Ty Story, and you have gotten Ben Hicks and Nick Starkel. Totally and completely upgraded.
It appeared that way early, but it doesn't appear that way now.
I know. And isn't that crazy? Isn't that insane to think that your quarterback situation right now, whether you look at statistics or anything, is no different than what it was last year?
John, this looks like a repeat of last year.
Certainly has the feel of it.
The whole thing.
It has the feel of it.
The whole thing. Including a embarrassing special teams play.
Yes.
Again.
Yes. Couldn't go the whole season without one of those. couldn't have that happen. But no, I'm with you. It's almost like we have seen this movie before. Same song, different verse. It has that feel
and
to
the
it.
The sequel's never as good as the original.
No. Well, oh, jeez. Let's hope it
the original was bad.
Well, you know they're going to be just as good at least. you know, it, as far as wins go, it's going to be just as good. But the ending of this all, I mean,
because if you win three, it's so much better.
Oh yeah. Then,
well, we improved our win total by 50%.
I think you still get a Razzie if that's the case. I mean, my goodness, yeah. But that's a factor in it for sure. 501 on the Cherokee Casino Hotline text in says if Arkansas has no depth, KJ would look terrible with the scout team versus Arkansas's first team defense. And also Tucker and Sherwood says, how do you know that KJ has not been effective at scout team?
I don't.
Yeah.
We don't. I mean, that's the coaches do. That's my point. The coaches know whether he has been effective or not in practice. The coaches also know the NCAA rules about he can only play in four games. Pick the four games where maybe he can be most successful. Because if he's successful, it makes you as a coach look successful? Question mark?
Seems so confident. That
would be
my
thinking. Yeah. Hey, if I can put my player on the field and he looks great, I look great as a coach. That would be my thinking.
But let me ask you, Tommy, if you go through Mississippi State next Saturday in Fayetteville, 3 p.m., the whole game, and say Arkansas loses, which probably more than likely is going to happen.
They'll be an underdog at home.
If they lose that game, say they lose it close, they're in the game in the fourth quarter.
10-point game.
And you did not play KJ Jefferson one snap.
Coaching malpractice.
I just can't have that. I can't have that. You can't have that. The American people can't have that.
If you're telling me you don't want to burn his red shirt, I'm all in on that.
Of course. You don't want to do that. But if you're telling me
he's not going to play in four games, I need more explanation.
Especially if you're still struggling with quarterback consistency.
I'm not demanding down here, pounding my fist on the console here at the radio station, he must start the game and play 70 snaps.
No.
I want to see him for 15 to 20 snaps to start. And if that goes well, we'll expand upon that. That's all we're... No one's down here demanding to start. No one... Just put some packaging in for him to give us a glimpse of the future. Throw us a crumb.
Mm-hmm.
We're starving.
Because if you just play Ben Hicks the whole time, that doesn't satisfy anything. That doesn't feed anybody. That doesn't be able to have anybody look at the future and the outlook of going into next season and say, you know what? Maybe this will be okay next year. Yeah. You just won't have that element about it for sure. So I don't know how it's going to play out. That's up to the coaches. But you got five games left. I know. Exactly. You got five games left. Four of those better have KJ Jefferson at some point.
Hey, the fall celebration is on at Crabtree RV in Alma. Take advantage of RV show pricing on hundreds of new models, including Deer Hunter specials under $10,000 and wholesale to the public prices on dozens of pre-owned RVs and the most money for your trade. It's all at Crabtree RV in Alma. Exit 13 off of I-40. Crabtree RV, it's where your family's dreams come true.
Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. David is in South Arkansas. What's going on, David?
Good morning, gentlemen. You mentioned that beautiful fake punt that made ESPN last night on the Come On Man segment of Monday Night Football. So, hey, we're famous now. Is our special teams alleged coordinator the same last year as that wonderful fake punt return that North Texas State was so beautifully done? And I don't know, it's just embarrassing the way Arkansas is now, I feel, the laughing stock of the conference, college football, just embarrassing. My dad and I were trying to think of a word worse than pitiful, pathetic, and embarrassing, and I think we ran out of adjectives there. Well, thanks, guys.
Well, appreciate the phone call, David. Yeah, I did see that Come On Man segment. But listen, again, I said this, as bad as it was awful, but those types of plays are either amazing when they work or absolutely god-awful when they don't. It's an awful call when it doesn't work, but it's the ballsiest call you've ever seen when it ends up working.
It's like running the ball on third and six.
Yeah.
Up the middle.
Yeah, it's like if you get it, you're like, oh, brilliant call. Brilliant call. But if you don't get it, it's like, you idiot.
It's like when Nutt used to run the ball.
Smoke draw
on third and six.
Punch myself in the face. I'm not talking about Nutt today, Tommy.
It was, we got audio. Surely we got audio from yesterday.
We didn't have room in
Matty
all
Matty T,
rooms.
Get in there and get us some audio from yesterday.
We don't have room.
Oh, we got to hear from.
I don't want to hear from the right Reverend Houston Nutt today. I've had enough of people already saying he needs to be coached. That's neither here nor there. But the whole point of the matter is that it, in that situation, it's either looks great or it looks awful. It looks awful, and I get it. It's embarrassing. But, you know, you got to add on to the other pieces of the puzzle. And when you go viral like that, too, it just adds in more to it, because now you're going to be on SportsCenter, not top 10, and people are going to be laughing about it. I mean, you had, like, the official ESPN Twitter account tweeted out the video of you doing that play. Millions of people saw it.
So Barry Lunny Jr. took over as special teams coordinator this year, right?
I thought it was they had like another not full-time assistant coach that was handling it. I can't remember his name last year, but go ahead. Yeah.
He's coordinating special teams. I have a hard time believing all that was. Of course, again, we didn't see it executed the way it was designed. No one designed it to be executed to do that. I have a hard time believing the coaches or the players, the coaches coached the players to run it the way they did. No. Now, maybe it's a bad design to begin with, but I'd like to see that play run again and run right to see, okay, or maybe you'd say, no. You know, what were you thinking to begin with?
Because here's the thing, Tommy. It's one thing if you run fake punts that, you know, like no one's ever seen a play like that before. Well, there's never been a fake punt that's been designed that way before.
Again. They got lucky that it ended up costing them nothing because Auburn got the ball back and then missed a field goal. So it didn't cost you anything for this embarrassing gaffe. But you ran a fake punt on 4th and 11?
On your own 41-yard line.
On 4th and 11? I mean,
he had to get 16 yards from where he caught the ball. He had to get 16 yards if he would have caught it.
And the pass came another 8 yards behind that or whatever. 4th and 11?
Yeah. That was my issue.
That was, as we talked about yesterday, the part that still makes no sense to me is, all right, 4th and 4, 4th and 6, 4th and less than...
Inside enemy territory.
Okay. I get it. Yeah, the other 41? Okay. Not 4th and 11?
It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make any sense. I don't know, that again, it's so much more embarrassing when people just pile on with it. And you're the only team in the SEC without an SEC win, Tommy.
I got a hard time putting Lunny's name on that.
No, I don't.
I've known Lunny for a long time. I don't think that was his deal.
No, I wouldn't think so either.
Hey, coach, I think it's a really good idea to run this one right here.
No. But I'm still trying to just play it all in my head. I don't know the decision making behind it. I don't know what went into it. But again, it looked really bad. It just looked really embarrassing.
No, it looked worse than that.
Yeah, it's
it was worse than that. Kornheiser was hammering us too yesterday on PTI. I mean, it's a shot at the whole state. That's the problem. When I say us as Arkansans, we all get drug into this.
Hate it. I hate it so much, but. It makes it fun for sure.
Fun? Yeah. What fun are you? What fun is this?
I'm having fun talking about it.
Oh, my Lord.
Aren't you just your bundle of joy here? But we're going to have Nick Mason joining us, rumor has it, here on the other side of the break.
Laugh so don't cry.
Talk about Razorback basketball.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
By the way, we had a texter, Tyler Greenwood, went in and had this question for Nick. Says, what are we doing to get some of those six foot eight and plus players? I'm assuming that he says in regards to recruitment.
And
They're stretching the ones they have now. They're taking them to the chiropractor, and they're trying to turn. Yeah.
You know, and that's...
Because here's the problem with basketball media guides, too. If they say they're 6'6 or 6'7, what are they really, Nick?
6'3 and 3/4. And what people don't realize is that many people come ask us, hey, how tall are you?
Yeah.
They don't like this isn't a combine where they sit and measure.
Yeah.
And so if you look at a couple of the guides from 18 to 21, I grew an inch every year. And so, yes, the media guys are not always right. And that's a good question. And that's what's going to separate if Musselman's able to get all these in-state guys, if he's able to get KK Robinson, he already has Devontae. If he's able to add Moody, Chris Moore, and Jalen Williams, if he's able to add all of those guys, then at that point, yes, they will be missing a little size, at least in that class. I think what he's going to try to do, though, he's probably going to go to the transfer portal, try to grab a transfer big, and then pair that alongside of Vanover and Reggie Chaney, and then just, you know, and kind of go with that. I mean, so there's not a lot of them out there. And, you know, the ones that are out there, you know what schools that recruit them, North Carolina, Duke, Kentucky, mm-hmm. Kansas, Iowa State, the same schools that recruit everybody every year.
I know you want Vanover for this year, and, you know, it'd make a world of difference in rebounding and in just every aspect because it'd give you a big. But there's also, to me, the side of, well, you get through this year, no one's expecting a whole lot. The expectations aren't real high for year one with Musselman. Having for year two when people are going to be expecting you to be in the tournament, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
To me, he's a player I save. You know, I know they're trying to get him eligible because you want to play him now, but you need him more next year.
Am
I wrong about that?
Well, now, and you know, and to your defense, what Tommy is saying too, so you'll save him for the future because it's not like Vanover just has one more year. We all understand that, but what Tommy's saying is if you pair,
if you pair Vanover with
this incoming class, correct. Then he can play with these guys three more seasons,
exactly.
Instead of two. Yeah,
what I'm saying is you get him for so many more years when it counts. I'm just saying this year it's not a freebie. But there's no like high amount of pressure on Musselman now.
On that, yeah.
You better win your first year, you know.
Right.
None of that.
Coaches don't think like that, man. And I have asked people those questions all the time. Coaches do not think like that. Coaches don't think about, I have a freebie year, I can do this. Coaches think about, how can I win one more game right now? And that's really in any sport. And so, but yes, I am with you though. It's better to pair Vanover for 3 years up with the 2020 recruiting class.
That's
because
what
if
I'm
you
saying.
Spend all five scholarships on Jalen, because even Jalen, and I think a lot of people are going to be surprised, in my opinion. Now, you can stick him at multiple positions, but Jalen is a stretch skilled four. I mean, he's not a back to the basket. You just got to leave him on the block. He can only play the center position, and then that's it. No, he is like a skilled. He's very similar to Trey Thompson as far as like he can pass.
Yeah.
He can hit the open cutter. And so a lot of times you're going to want to pull Jalen away from the basket to pull his man away from the basket because he thrives in those settings. So what I'm saying, and then you turn around and if you add Chris Moore to that class, well, he's 6'5". And so, yes, having Vanover paired with the 2020 class for three seasons is going to be big because I'm not sure how much size you're going to be able to get around that class.
And Vanover's a guy that offensively wants to shoot the three, be on the outside.
Well, which is perfect, though.
Well,
because
if you have other rebounders.
Yeah, well.
But you don't have any other rebounders right now. So if he's outside 21 feet from the basket, who's rebounding?
Well, and what my thing is, though, he's that way on the offensive end. And so
who's getting offensive boards?
Offensive boards. And so I can see the concern there, but what I will look at more so is how my other players score. And if you're looking at Desi, who's going to be around, if you're looking at Reggie Chain, who's going to be around, if you're looking at if you can bring in Chris Moore, if you get KK and Devontae, those guys are slashers. They're getting to the rim. They're trying to finish over people. Well, if that's the case, the biggest player on the other team is probably going to be guarding Vanover. Mm-hmm. So if Vanover can pull his man away from the basket, now all my slashers and my cutters, now they're finishing over a power forward, or they're finishing over a small forward, or finishing over a point guard or a shooting guard instead of having a rim protector down there all the time. That's what we ran into a lot with Gafford was even whenever people would slash, well, Gafford's man is going to be 7 foot, and he's going to be a rim protector, so now it's going to make it a lot harder for them to finish over the top of him.
How big a deal was it to get Jimmy Witt back?
Oh, big. I mean, you don't like. I don't have a good point guard.
I didn't think he would have the impact until we watched him Sunday, and you're like, wow.
Yeah,
you
know? he's now, but the thing about him, though, and he's going to struggle during the regular season because he can't beat anybody off the dribble, and he can't shoot. But now he can do – every other thing on the basketball court, though. He can defend multiple positions. He can rebound. He's smart. He can rotate. And a lot of people, don't see those things that, like, whenever they are in defensive sets, Jimmy Witt is never out of position. He can rotate. He can, you know, he can fill the passing lane. So he can do a bunch of different things, but it's going to be tough for him to beat people off the dribble and for him to get in the lane and get others easy baskets. That's why I still think, and I'm not very high on Jalen Harris, but he's going to have a role on this team. And depending on if he can score a little bit, it could be a larger role, because he's the one guy right now that can break his man down off the dribble, get into the lane, and get people easy shots.
Let me ask you, because the way that you've been saying it about as far as recruiting in the 2020 class, we know that, I think I forgot exactly who said it, but I know that there's been a few people that feel like the 2020 class in the state of Arkansas might be one of the best ones that's been around in quite some time. And obviously, it's a good situation for Musselman to find himself in. But looking at it, and it looks real positive for a lot of these kids and their chances to come to Arkansas. Yeah. What is Musselman doing that's changing that? What is he doing with these kids that's making them say, okay, yeah, Arkansas is the place that I really want to go to?
Now, in defense of Mike Anderson, because there has been a lot of people that have been on like, oh, man, you see Musselman, as soon as he got in, he got Devontae Davis and he has all these other kids or whatever. In defense of Mike Anderson, Mike didn't want a lot of these guys. Now, if that's lack of an eye of a recruiter, I don't know. We don't even know, because, and we're not going to know for a couple of years because we don't know if these guys are going to be good in college or not.
Right.
But in defense of Mike Anderson, he did not want a ton of these guys. So some of these guys that Musselman's been able to flip, like he went and got Vanover, Mike never offered Vanover. If you're looking at even with like Devontae Davis, he got an Arkansas offer, but he could never commit to that offer. He didn't have an Arkansas offer when Mike Anderson was here. Even with KK, it kind of was one of those things like KK blew up and a bunch of other people offered him. And you know, like if Kansas and Iowa State and Texas, if they're offering you and you're an in-state kid, Arkansas has to offer you. So in defense of Mike, there's not really a ton of difference between the two as far as like the in-state guys. A lot of it is Musselman just kind of focusing more on those guys and wanting those guys a lot more than Mike. And I'm going to tell you something that I've thought has been corny the whole entire time, but I mean, it says something about how creative he is. Those pictures that he's doing. And I mean, I think those are corny as H-E double hockey sticks. I really do. But in saying that though, like every time I look up, there's some NBA person that's tweeting it. There's, you know, Shaq may have tweeted it out a time. There's just a bunch of coverage that's happening right then.
And it's your own deal.
Right. And it's your own deal. And it's like, if you're not getting guys to commit right now, tell me what school right now has one commit for the 2020 class and has as much excitement going around as Arkansas basketball. Like, if you didn't know any better, and if I didn't follow it as close as I did, I would think that he has 15 5-stars committed. The way like these pictures are going out and people are retweeting them and all those different type of things. Well, so now I'm not saying that is what's getting players interested. I'm just saying
it's getting
that
them on
line,
campus.
Yes, it's getting on campus. But that line of creativity, if you think that his creativeness just stops with the pitchers, it doesn't. His recruiting pitch is very creative. The way he uses his you know, his family. And I'm gonna say another thing too. I mean, he uses his beautiful African American wife to his advantage. And because I mean, like, all these kids he's bringing in are what? They're black. And so I really, and I'm not just bringing this up because I have heard from parents that they felt really, really comfortable whenever she came in the room and she was talking to the parents. Not saying they didn't feel comfortable whenever Chad Morris was there, but there's just something that not Chad Morris.
What is Chad Morris? Yeah, you lost me there.
Eric Musselman. But yeah. There's something to say though, and still to this day, it's still a recruiting pitch that other African American coaches use, because I've heard it before in the past, and they use, hey, send your son to me, you know, I understand, like, you know, like I've been there, I understand what you're going through. And it's always been kind of funny to me that, you know, a multimillionaire head coach is telling you that, like, hey, I understand. And like, it's, you know, it's funny to me, but whatever makes the families feel comfortable. And, you know, Eric Musselman and his family and his way of doing things have made recruits feel comfortable.
It's a Toyota Tuesday on the Morning Rush. Be sure to check out all new 2019 Toyota vehicles at your local Arkansas Toyota dealer, including the Highlander with plenty of room up to 8 people, the stylish new Corolla, the work-ready family Tough Tundra, and the Go Anywhere 4Runner Toyota. Let's go places. And to go back to your point, Nick, about the element of, you know, all the things that are going in his favor in recruiting. And I know that you have said this, and we've said this way back when, even before there was a change in the guard with Mike Anderson heading and Eric Musselman. Razorback basketball, or at least Arkansas basketball, is a sport that can compete for Final Fours based on the in-state talent that they get pretty consistently. I mean, there's a lot of in-state talent, and we know that just one or two players can make all the difference in the world when it comes to your basketball team and your basketball program. And it's just, I think it's the element of Razorback fans understanding that Arkansas basketball is a program that can be great and can compete. And just having the right guy in place to be able to show a lot of these in-state kids, especially, that, hey, you don't have to leave the state. You don't have to go to Kentucky to get into the league. You don't have to go to Kansas. You can come right here, be beloved and be a part of something great, and still get into the NBA and have a nice career as well.
Yeah, you know, I'm curious because majority of the time when people get fired, things are going the way that it's going right now for Chad Morris, or things are going the way that it was going for Brett when he got fired, or even John Pelfrey when he got fired. There hasn't been, you know, there hasn't been a ton of times where, I mean, the program was healthy under Mike Anderson. We just wanted more. It was just like, you know, it was one of those things.
He left it better than he found it.
That, yeah.
Much better.
And so he passed the baton off to a really good program. And I think that Eric Musselman has a great head start on where a lot of other programs are whenever they fire a head coach. So yeah, I mean, if he can keep the in-state guys throughout all the classes, if he can keep them here, that's a start. But he is going to have to make some noise in some other states, in some other areas, or continue in the transfer portal, because just the in-state kids are not enough to get Arkansas basketball back to the Sweet 16 or even further.
What about Kyrie Walker? I know some people have been texting and asking about him.
Yeah, I mean, flip a coin.
Okay.
You know, I don't really have a good feel on him. And what you're hearing from me in my voice is about how everybody else feels as well, too. So, you know, flip a coin. We'll sit back and see. I saw him tweet out that, like, he wasn't even playing in his upcoming high school game against LeBron James's son's team. So I didn't really do any research, but that situation is just kind of all over the place. So it's just kind of one of those sit back and see. But I'll tell you this, though, this coaching staff, and this is a lot of the reason why they went out and got Devontae Davis. They're wanting people that want to be at Arkansas. They're not about to do this whole, like, you know, drag it out and we're just going to wait around and hopefully we can get this kid or hopefully we can get that kid. They're trying to put recruits on the board and they're trying to get kids that really want to be here at Arkansas, because those are going to be the guys that that play a lot harder for you.
This texter comes in from the 479. He says, ask Nick if he has an update on the Desi Sills injury. Do you know anything further on that one?
No, I do not have an update on that. Okay. Sorry about
just
that.
Just want to make sure. Also, Bill and Fayetteville's loving the basketball talk and recruiting. He says, what are the corny pictures that we're talking about? They're not on Eric Musselman's Twitter account because he can't post them. But if you go to some of the recruits that have been taking visits to Arkansas and look at their social media accounts, it's basically where these players and Eric Musselman and some assistant coach or whatever reenact famous images from NBA. For instance, I think the latest one was with Moses Moody and KK Robinson, where the picture with Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, and Michael Jordan in the USA, and they reenacted that photo. Yeah. So
wearing
like
Razorback
that
jerseys.
Right. Wearing Razorback jerseys. Same thing.
So you got Musselman in a Razorback game jersey.
Right. And it was like when AI stepped over Tyronn Lue, there was that image. There's just been
things,
you pick your picture.
You just have to see it. And as soon as you see one of them, you'll know exactly what John is talking about. And it's not it's corny, like when your parents tell you jokes and you're just kind of halfway laughing because you're just like, are you serious? And your mom or dad is just dying at the joke. They think it's the funniest thing in the world. And you're like, what? That was so, I mean, it's not corny in a bad way. It's corny in a good way.
Yeah, that's all it is. But it's obviously resonating because they keep wanting pictures with it. In fact, I think I remember Eric Musselman saying that he went to a football game earlier this season, and a couple students came up to him and were like, hey, coach, real quick, can we reenact a photo just for us, like just some regular students and whatnot? Obviously, you didn't have the basketball jerseys, but it's resonating. I think people think at least it's a cool thing. So
everybody wants to be famous.
Well, that's right.
They're hoping the picture will go viral.
Yeah, that's what they're hoping for. But, I mean, it's been something that's obviously been resonating, and we'll see how it continues to play out for Eric Musselman in recruiting. All right, let's go ahead and get into your Hog update here on The Morning Rush.
Arkansas football. It's the players running through the A. Hog hats. It's more than 70,000 fans calling Woo Pig Suey.
It's a great day to be a Razorback.
Guys, I've got just one thing I want to say to you. Touchdown, Arkansas!
Arkansas wins the national championship! The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season!
This is your Hog Update on The Morning Rush.
All right, it's time for your Hog Update presented by Ozark Sportsman Supply.
Yeah, anything Carhartt you need, they have it at the Ozarks. Coats, jackets, bibs, Carhartt jeans, vests, shirts. You got to layer up right now. It's cooler in the morning, warmer in the afternoon. They got all the different kinds of Carhartt clothing you need to stay warm and comfortable on the work site this winter. Everything for the men and the women. So all you hardworking folks out there, get to the Ozarks and check out all the Carhartt stuff. Plus all the fun stuff, too, for the weekends. Firearms, gun safes, archery, fishing supplies, and the largest selection of accessories in Northwest Arkansas. Don't forget their 15-lane indoor gun range for some awesome target practice. It's all under one roof in one place. Ozark Sportsman Supply at Ozark Outpost Casual Clothing and Footwear, Highway 412 West, barely out of Springdale in Taneytown.
So for your Hog update, Arkansas football will be taking on Mississippi State next Saturday in Fayetteville at 3 p.m. So not an 11 a.m. game, not a 6:30 p.m. game, a 3 p.m. game, which, as we mentioned, is kind of unfortunate because that's the same exact time essentially as the LSU and Alabama game. I think even some Razorback fans may be more apt to watch the LSU-Bama game than that one, but that's at least the game time. So make your plans accordingly for that one. Also, this is something we alluded to a little bit, but yesterday during Chad Morris's press conference, and if you haven't had a chance to watch it, go over to hitthatline.com. You can watch that and all the coordinators. But both Hunter Yurecek and John Fagg were in attendance for the coach's press conference. Now, we've seen this happen before, and it's not the first time Hunter Yurecek showed up to a press conference, but those are always little signs where you're wondering, is that a good thing or is it a bad thing?
Well, I mean, I disagree. I think the signs are you're 0-12 in league play. I think I think that's more of an indicator of where you're at. But no, I heard you say that earlier, and this is the question I guess that I have for YouTube, because I feel like y'all have a better feeling this. I'm out. And just like I said, I was out whenever he went 0-8 last year. You just can't go winless in conference in any sport and expect me to think that, oh, okay, well, like, you have it together or you're going to have success. Because what happens is when people start wanting to have you out, like, he's dug himself a hole that it doesn't matter how long he coaches here, he's never going to get out of.
Mm-hmm. That was the same problem Bielema had. Of course, he never dug fast enough to get out of the hole, but
right. And because
wouldn't it matter?
Because you know how this works, right? I mean, for him to dig himself out of the hole, you gotta go 7-1 or 8-0, and you're not going to do that. But my question is this, and I know that I've heard you talk about it a lot of times, John, saying like, well, if you won one game in league play, that is an improvement. So are we all on the same page? If he goes 0-16, he's not going to make it to year three.
He shouldn't. No.
hold on. He shouldn't or he's not?
Well, I mean, I'm not the guy firing him, but I'm saying that if he goes 0-16.
Are you confident that he will be fired if he goes 0-16?
Yes, I am confident.
Okay. But if he goes
I am not.
You are not. Okay. So this question is just for you, John. So if he goes 1-15, then he keeps his job.
I think so, yeah.
I think some of the reasoning that he wouldn't be fired is financial, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to cost $10 million, essentially, 9.8 to fire him.
Yeah. But if he goes 0-16, though, and I know that it seems stupid to think what's the difference in one game. And trust me, I get that. But if you go 0-16, it's more about optics than anything. It's like you can't have a guy who's won 16 straight games.
Hunter Yurecek is trying to figure out a way by hook or crook to beat Mississippi State, Western Kentucky, and Missouri. Because if you could win three of the four November, I don't say all is right with the world, but all the discussion of changing coaches is off the table. Makes his job a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But until that happens, though.
And I don't think that will happen.
It's not going to happen.
But that's like best case scenario right there.
But I've said it before. Again, it's like because I was with you on the 0-8 thing. I wasn't for it, but I was like, I get it. But 0-16.
Yeah. Well, now. I knew he couldn't be fired at that time, but I just was saying it's not going to work.
Right. No, I get you.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason, Matty T, all in studio with you today. And thank you, as always, for making us part of your morning this morning on a Toyota Tuesday. Be sure to check out all new 2019 Toyota vehicles at your local Arkansas Toyota dealer, including the Highlander with plenty of room up to 8 people, the stylish new Corolla, the work-ready family Tough Tundra, and the go-anywhere 4Runner. Toyota, let's go places. Been talking a lot of Razorback basketball this morning, and apparently people are very appreciative of the Razorback basketball talk. It's almost like some of them have already shifted gears, wanting to move on from football and just get into basketball. There's a buzz around Eric Musselman in this opening era. And I know that, listen, I've only been around Razorback, or at least been a Razorback fan and really been following it probably for the past 20 or so years. But I will say, and maybe you guys can disagree with me, I'm having a hard time remembering maybe Petrino, where there's just been more buzz and excitement about a program before they've ever coached a game. And I'm talking about,
man,
like...
There was a lot of excitement with Mike. A lot of excitement. Now,
I agree with that.
It wasn't because of anything he had done in the offseason. And so, like, if you wanted to change that statement,
maybe that's what it's more about. Yeah,
and say like this is the most excitement somebody has had during talking season. But there was a ton of excitement about Mike coming back.
That's because a good point.
I can just remember people making my ears bleed whenever they kept saying, "Oh, Razorback basketball is back," and it's like he hasn't coached a game yet.
Yeah,
and so I can remember that there was a ton of excitement then. Of course, with Petrino, because he just flipped everybody in the state. And now, even though if you go back and ask some of those guys now, because it was funny, Jerry's Right and I had a disagreement on Twitter about this. Some of those guys say they were already coming to Arkansas anyway. But yeah, Petrino, whenever he was able to flip everybody. But as far, and then the crazy thing is, he's only got one guy to commit.
Yeah.
Well, no, two. He has one in the 2021 class and then one in the 2020 class. So, I mean, once again, and this is why this is what you can't measure. You know, every year, whenever we get ready to, or not every year, but every couple of years when we get ready to fire a coach and hire somebody yes. new and you know, the questions start coming up. Or even in the summertime, whenever it's slow, you know, you always have those couple of topics that you just recycle. And one of them has always been, okay, what level is this as a football job in the SEC? You know, look at all the teams. Is it top tier, mid tier, bottom tier? And then in basketball, what level is it? And something that we can't measure is this. Mm-hmm. You know why everybody's bouncing around because of these pictures that he's putting out and he only has one commit in the 2020 and one commit in the 2021? Everybody's waiting to explode. Like people, I mean, and you know, God forbid, I hope people don't die of heart attacks whenever we finally make it back to the Sweet 16. And I'm serious. People are so ready to be good in basketball or football that as soon as a coach has another like great season, there are going to be people that then start to talk about, hey, let's go ahead and build him a statue and give him a lifetime, you know, contract. And so I think a lot of this is more of a mixture of fans just know what this basketball job can be and they want to be great so bad and they feel like that Arkansas is just right there. And once again, getting the baton from Mike Anderson and where he brought the program, it gives you a huge head start on things versus like you coming from last in the SEC, because Mike Anderson, I mean, I kind of felt like everybody thought Arkansas was the bottom of the top tier.
Yeah, respectable so like, program.
You know, probably, you know, between 4-6 over the last handful of years, and whereas Mike didn't get the program like that or whatever. And so I just think that Musselman has a chance to do something great, and people are going to explode and start trying to throw money at him, try to keep him forever if he's ever able to make it to the second weekend.
You realize when Arkansas gets back to the tournament, they will be paired in the same bracket and have to match up with St. John's. Everybody realizes that, right?
Oh, yeah. And
100%.
At that time, 100%. St. John's would have won their league, and they'll be like 30-5.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
It'll be like a 5 seed. Arkansas will be 11 seed.
On a 27-game winning streak.
That is exactly what the committee will do. Arkansas will have to play Mike Anderson and St. John's in the first round of the NCAA tournament in like 2 years.
And then if they win, second round will be North Carolina, just like always.
Mark that tape, and if it comes true, you know, we'll play it again. If not, we'll just throw it away.
Yeah. So. No, tale as old as time.
But that's exactly what's going to happen, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But see, here's
like in 2 years, Musselman's going to get us in the tournament. We'll play St. John's, who's had like the best year in like 15, 20 years.
Yeah. Or the opposite. St. John's wins the tournament to get in, to sneak in, and then they go on a magical run to the Final Four.
Yeah.
Just no way around this.
Yeah. Well, see, and you were talking about basketball and just how fans are just excited about either football or basketball trying to get good again. And to me, basketball is just one of those things. Because, like, listen, football, past 10 years, yeah, they've had some bad years, the worst years that you would have. But you still looked at, okay, well, 2010, 2011, you had those. And 06 with McFadden was great. Even Brett Bielema's year when they went 8-5 was fun for the most part. Like, you still had those moments. But it's like with basketball, I'm not saying you had bad seasons. But, again, you haven't been to the Sweet 16 since 1996. Yeah. And I think I was trying to remember if I think it was Jeff Goodman that we had on the show.
We do realize there are games beyond the Sweet 16, right? We do realize that as fan base, that if you won a Sweet 16 game, they're going to let you keep playing.
But it's just,
I don't think some of us realize that. Yeah. It's just, can we get to the Sweet 16?
Well, because it's a measuring stick of where every other SEC team in this conference has been to the Sweet 16 since you have. And so it's like a mind-blowing stat when you hear that. And I think that, as good as, again, I don't think anybody's going to say that Mike Anderson did a poor job at Arkansas or anything like that. But it was just, that was the element that people were hoping he could take them to. It was getting to the tournament's great, but getting to that Sweet 16.
If he would have, he had played North Carolina every time.
Well, yeah. And, you know, fair or not, though, I don't think people even cared about that as much as they talked about. That's what people were using that wanted him to get fired. And that's what happens, and that's why, and just like whenever we're talking about Chad Morris earlier, just like with him, like, I mean, he's going to eventually get fired because people that want him fired now are going to continue to say, he's 0-12, he's 0-13. Even if he wins the last couple, he's still going to be 2-13.
Where does Arkansas
3-12.
Okay, but if Mike Anderson survived and is still your head coach, where are you at with Moody and Robinson and these guys?
Okay, yes.
Are they even on campus? Are they even taking a visit?
I do not
think. Are they
even
considering the Razorback program?
Now. Moody, yes, because Moody and his family are set up for this. Like, they know how to – they are first-class people, and in their mind, it's like this is the in-state school, so they're for sure going to get a visit because it's the in-state school. So, yes, from Moody, I think regardless of who the head coach is, he's going to visit the in-state school. But no, I don't think you get KK. I don't think you get Devo. I'm not sure about Chris and Jalen Williams. So no, I don't think you get those guys if Mike is the head coach. But now, who's to say that that's going to be the difference in getting you to the Sweet 16 or not?
But I just know better players give you a better chance. That's all. I think we all agree with that, right? And these are better players that are in your state. And I think Hunter Yurachek's a smart guy that understands, hey, there's these really good players that have Arkansas ties that have either played their high school ball and went to prep school elsewhere or whatever the situation is. We know with all these. And everybody wants to be on board and connected with the new thing. The thing with a lot of – and anytime you have a new coach, it's always a lot of energy and there's always a lot of forward momentum at the beginning. And everybody wants to be on board with that. And I think Hunter Yurachek, he's a smart guy. He understood that then was the time to make the change, that you had a chance moving forward. I'm not saying that's the reason he made a move. I just think he understood that recruiting had reached a plateau and some of these guys you needed to re-energize this basketball program, Arkansas was likely not going to get without making the change.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think ADs have to take all of these kind of things into consideration when making a decision of this magnitude.
Well, and with the recruiting that Mike Anderson did, which, you know, people, there was times where he had some good classes and times where he didn't, but it was a matter of, okay, the in-state kids, you got the ones that were going to come to Arkansas no matter what. Like Bobby Portis was a guy that, you know, it didn't matter who was the coach. He was going to come to Arkansas. Daniel right. Gafford was another guy. There's a few other guys that did that. But you needed a coach that the guys that were for sure, that weren't for sure coming to Arkansas, that wanted to look outside the state. You were losing all of them. And that was, I think, what was the key, is that the Monks and the Kayvon Allens and the Archie Goodwins and stuff, it wasn't that Mike wasn't doing a good job. It was just to take you to that next level, you needed those guys, and you didn't have a coach who was built
right.
to get those guys and convince them to come to Arkansas.
And now I think this is another, and it seems like I'm defending Mike Anderson, and this isn't like a, hey, I'm here saying that Arkansas isn't in a good place right now. So let me state this, because every time that I speak my comments, somebody catches just the end
yeah,
of it and then takes off running with it. I do think Arkansas is in a great position with Musselman, and I do think he's going to be able to bring in a lot of kids. But now it goes back to, and this is why it's important for you not to dig yourself in a hole, and it's important for you to do the small things to appease fans from the beginning. Another thing, though, that was another thing that was played, that just was played out. Everybody saying, oh, well, Mike can get the in-state guys. So watch this. I don't count Archie, because that was the, like, Mike had come in and he was there for the 1 year they struggled. Yeah. Archie can go to Kentucky that just won the league, or Arkansas that hadn't made to the tournament in 5 or 6 years. I don't really count that one on Mike, because he had a year.
Right.
He missed out on Kayvon and Malik. Then after that, he nailed everybody in state that he actually wanted to get, because everybody forget. I mean, after that, he got Anton, he got Trey, he got the Hawks players, he got Justice, Isaiah Joe, Desi, Ethan. Regardless of what you think about Ethan and Justice Hill right now, I can remember when everybody was screaming at me, the Hawk Five, like, this is what it is, and all the fans wanted all those guys. Khalil Garland, Dan Gafford, Darius Hall, he got every single one of those. So a lot of this is just, I mean, so it's just very important as a coach to take care of business early on and be very mindful of these things, because, and now, of course, in the end, not any one of these things got him fired, but wherever you're talking about, and if you don't know the facts, you'll hear people talking about, yeah, Mike couldn't get any in-state kids, and people will have you thinking that he never got an in-state kid. After he missed out on Monk and Allen, he got every single one of them.
Mm-hmm. But it was those next level guys, like the Maliks, that is what
right,
it
right,
was.
Right, right. But what I'm saying is there were no more of those after that.
Right.
And now, once again, though, I think had he landed Kayvon Allen and Malik Monk, I talk about this all the time. Like, if you look at those guys early in their career, look at when Malik was a freshman and Kayvon was a sophomore. They were both the top scorers and arguably the best players on the two best teams in the league. And both of those teams went to the Sweet 16, and one
at
of
least,
them went
yeah.
to the Elite Eight. So, I mean, if you have those guys at Arkansas, Arkansas for sure gets a Sweet 16. So that was very damning whenever he was not able to land those guys. But there is, you know, just, I'm saying that a lot of people were screaming about the Sweet 16. And I understand that a lot of people were screaming about, you know, the in-state talent or whatever. And I just think those were stretched out a lot more to make people believe that he was worse than what he was, because everybody was ready for him to go. People were ready for him to be fired. And once you get that way as a head coach, it's impossible to dig your way out. That's why Chad Morse is not going to make it, because at mm-hmm. this point, he has dug such a deep hole and everybody's ready for him to go. So he's never going to get out of that, because we're going to continue. Like, he's 0-12. So all you math guys out there, do the math on what he's going to have to do to at least be respectable, at least be 500. Like, I mean, it's going to take
win the next 12.
Yeah.
Right, but I mean, for him to win 12 conference games.
How many years is he going to have to go 5-3 or better?
That's what I'm saying.
How many years in a row?
And that only puts you up 2, so that means you're going to have to do that 6 years in a row. Well, he ain't going to be here for 8 years.
Well, what was it? Brett Bielema took him 5 years to get to 13 SEC wins, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, and that was after like one good year.
You're not going to survive 10 years of that.
No.
Nothing's really changing.
No, that's a good point.
Hey, Morning Rush brought to you in part by Williams Tractor, where they're winding up the savings right now during the True Blue Savings event. It's going on right now. Take advantage of 0% financing, cashback savings, and other year-end specials on select New Holland tractors, hay and forage products, and material handling equipment. Get in on all the True Blue savings right now at Williams Tractor in Fayetteville, Berryville, or Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas and Rogers.
I guess we got to get this phone call in. I mean, this just only makes sense for the way that the football season has gone so far. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Eddie is in Clarksville. Good morning, Eddie.
Good morning, gentlemen. And good morning to the fan base. And listen, I've been enjoying your show this morning, and I listened to some of your comments. And but more importantly, I'm calling in about this football program, as I'm a devoted fan. I love this program. And to me, the problem, number one problem at the U of A, is not just this coaching staff. It's the administration. And in addition, I have to say, by the way, before Mr. Yurchek took over, but decision-making and leadership at the U of A, and by the way, not only at the U of A, how important is leadership? Leadership is defined as the ability to lead and direct others, especially team members, on a team. And for any business or any team to be successful, you've got to lead and make the right decisions. And certainly we made the poor decisions on an administrative level, on a board of director level, and maybe even the athletic department level. Case in point, Coach Billam, go back there. The athletic director's not even here anymore. I don't even know if we're still paying Coach Bellema, but what was it, $17 million? And now, associate athletic director, Miss Julia Peoples, had hired Joe. The truth is, let's talk truth. We hired a coach that had no proven SEC power wins or coaching experience, that had no Power 5 experience, and we're feeling miserable. And of all Power 5 teams in America, we're the worst program in America, without a doubt. That pays me. But I have to admit it. And I heard Dr. Phil say this the other day. There was a couple on there, and they were going through a crisis. And he said, well, for things to change, number one, you got to admit the problem. Until you admit, you're making poor decisions. And the only way to change it, you can win at the U of A. No doubt about it. But you got to get the right guy. And now, are we going to win another game the rest of the season? Highly unlikely. Because they cannot make the decision. Either fair or unfair to Coach Warren, you're not getting the job done. And you don't bring them back for another year. The truth is, if we fire Coach Warren today, we made him a very big, I'm not going to feel sorry for him. We made him a multi-millionaire. He don't have to work another day in his life. Meanwhile, our program, hey, we got mediocrity to a new level. And not only have we hit rock bottom, we kept going. Thank you for taking my call.
Okay, thanks, Eddie. As always.
Yeah.
Kind of ended abruptly there. I thought he was going to keep going.
Well, I think he said a brief statement.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's what he said in the comments on our phone. He just had a brief statement.
No, he had a stopwatch going.
Oh, my goodness gracious. That was something. We're paying him $17 million. Well, 11. Yeah,
11. What's $6 million amongst friends?
Yeah.
Eddie's statements are about like mine all over the place. I just don't scream as much.
But well,
if you play them side by side, they're about the same.
Is it, though? I think that you... Do you say mediocrity?
No, well, and then he said, but we hit rock bottom and went under that.
You know, it's that associate AD, Julia Cromer.
Golly. That was a good call back.
A listener agrees with me.
He's as frustrated as the rest of us. I mean, he is just voicing the frustration that... I think a majority of the fan base is feeling. He's saying what a lot of people are thinking.
Yeah. Rex and Hector says, listening to Eddie is like listening to Nick. Oh my God, is it ever going to end? Well, no, it's not.
Yeah, I mean, I won't be on for another two or three weeks, Rex.
Yeah.
Or did you say Hector?
No, it's Rex from
Heck. Oh, Rex, yeah. I'm going to be on for another couple of weeks.
Yeah, you may be on next week, hey?
Yeah, we'll play it out.
I'll schedule you a day next week.
Okay, Eddie's not calling. We can turn down this
music. I can like the music. You don't like the music?
Only when Eddie calls, though. It doesn't have the same pizzazz in the panache?
I don't know. It does have a.
By the way, that's from
theatrical.
It's from Armageddon. For those everyone that ever keep. Where's that music from? It's from the movie Armageddon, which was an awful movie, by the way. But yeah, sorry for anybody.
We had a suggestion. We should cue the Titanic theme.
Oh yeah,
that during Eddie's call.
Yeah, I guess we need to start mixing it up a little bit. Maybe I don't know if we need to do more theatrical, because when it's exciting, it's theatrical, but when it's sad.
On occasion, Eddie will hit what we call the post in the business, and he will end his call as the crescendo of the music is ramping up, and it's a thing of beauty.
No, I'm telling you.
I do
miss, and I will say that I'm disappointed that Devoil Whaley is not playing more or having a more of an impact, because that's the one thing I always missed about Eddie was, where's Duval Wally?
Yeah.
That was the best one, is when, if he had a lot of quotes, but that always of asking, where's Duval Wally?
Yeah.
That was the best one, man. That was the best one.
Rakeem Boyd, I'd like to hear that come out in the pace in which Eddie talks, because I don't know if we get Rakeem Boyd outright.
Yeah. Well, that's like Adam and Wynn. He just texted in. He says, I need to ask Eddie what happened to the Good Shepherd.
Yeah.
Because that's what he called Chad Morris, right? Chad Morris was the Good Shepherd. The
Good Shepherd.
So
I think he has lost his flock.
Yeah, now he's...
Yeah. Well, and you know, before we get out of this segment, I don't know what we expected more from, because he talked about how... Like, all these coaches talked about how SMU had a better team than Arkansas did when they first got here. And they didn't win a lot of games at SMU. And so, they were telling us from the
jump. They are now, though.
Yeah.
They were telling us, though, at the beginning, they were trying to tell us how bad Arkansas was. We just didn't listen. But do you remember it coming out?
It's not what we wanted to hear, Nick.
That the coaches were saying SMU had better players than Arkansas the first year they got here.
That's right.
And then we look at what they did at SMU. It's not like they won the league.
No. It's 7-5.
And so it's like, what more did we expect here whenever you're coming to a league that's 10 times better, you have worse players?
Yeah. That's a good point.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
A lot of good discussion this morning about Razorback football, some Razorback basketball stuff going on. And I guess now we have to wait, because there's an exhibition game this Friday for basketball, if I'm not mistaken. And then it's the November...
Southwest Oklahoma, I believe it is.
And then November 5th will be the first actual game against Rice.
Correct.
At home. So, yeah, so it's not officially underway.
5th and then the 12th.
Right.
So I got my season tickets in the mail yesterday, so...
How'd they look?
They look nice. Yeah. Look nice. I mean, I looked at them real quick. They got Musselman on the cover. I mean, I didn't go through and look at every game ticket.
Well, I just know that, you know, Nick did not get me on Gucci Row last year. And I'm hoping that this will be the year.
Let me tell you something. I got offered Gucci Row season tickets, but I guess... Not really Gucci. I guess Michael Kors row is the second row. So I got offered Dillard's. I got offered Michael Kors row.
Still the second nice, row, but yeah.
For the entire season. And so I'm trying to find some people to share the cost with me, because, man.
A little pricey?
Look, I understand why the people that give a certain amount of money to university and then have to purchase those tickets, I understand why they get very upset whenever Arkansas does not win a certain amount of games. Because
how pricey are we talking? Because I remember what they were asking originally.
Yeah.
For those courtside seats.
In which I guess they won't care. They are $20,000 for two.
Yeah.
For the second row.
That's honestly not as bad as I thought it was going to be. It's still really expensive, don't get me wrong.
Now, hold on. And remember this, though. Like, I can't just walk up there and hand them first of all, I just want to say this. I'm not paying $20,000 for them. So, let me get that, you know, straight. But I can't just walk up there with $20,000 and go, hey, I want seat 7 and 8 on the second row. Let's go. No, it doesn't work like that. So, it's actually way more than $20,000, because these people have already given.
Yeah, you got to donate to get the right to give them
$20,000. Yeah. And there are a couple people that own a bunch of those seats just in general. And then they allow them to, you know, resell them.
Yeah. Well, that's basically. I think that's the tickets that Tommy was talking about that you got, right? Was those tickets?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I know.
I've just seen if I got a good deal on mine. I am on row two. I will say that.
Maybe in a different section.
You might be in a different section.
You're on row two. But see, my boy Cameron, that's down there, which I'm really good friends with. You know, he has told me for years that it's like, hey man, just let me know if you ever want to come to a game down here. You can sit. And he's got front row.
Yeah.
And so the
other ones that I borrow from time to time.
Yeah, but it's like I've always, anytime I've messaged him, he's always like, man, I got so-and-so come with. Yeah. I was like, okay, that's fine. It's like I'm never going to be upset by it, ever. But it's just like maybe one of these days it's going to happen. Do you think he'll... I'm trying to get to the Kentucky game. I'm sure that he doesn't have anybody going to that one.
Probably nobody going to that one.
Yeah. Just walk up to it.
I just don't know because I think that tickets... on the lower bowl may be better than tickets on the second row.
Guys, no, I'm telling you.
I agree.
The best seats in the house are the front row of the upper deck. And I'll tell you why.
I disagree.
Well, here's why. You walk in the door, you go up about 7 steps, and you're at your seat. Go down 2 more steps, you're at your seat, and you got a great view of everything, including the new video boards.
The most realistic tickets.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And these are tickets you can get at close to midcourt. That you can afford. You get down there like row 20, then you got to hike back up from row 20 back up to the concourse level. Anytime you want a Coke, you won't get a Coke. Anytime you want a Pepsi or popcorn or anything else.
I guess I'm just
talking about from convenience, particularly when you go with kids.
No, I get it.
All of that. And it's a better view in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
A lot more convenient seat.
I just got spoiled by being on the front row for every game for so long. I guess I just got used to where it's like that's where the action is.
That's actually a really good seat too because you're
high enough.
You're raised off the court, but then you're still right there.
Yeah.
That's my problem with the second row is so for anybody that's ever been to an NBA game, if you get courtside, because you can be on the court at an NBA game but be like 6 rows back, like behind the goal, you can't ever see anything. I mean, I guess you look good when you walk in, but you can't see the game. And so that's my only thing. If I spend this type of money, we're going to have a problem if I can't see anything.
Yeah, yeah. But because they just added that second row last year, right? It used to be just one row.
I think so.
Yeah, so yeah. I guess they're doing well enough to where people are buying them for sure.
But. They for sure copied off of me because I did that years ago at Bentonville.
There's no question.
I mean.
Was that the time that you were obviously
getting 20 grand a seat, though?
One of our.
Was not. I was getting 100, but yeah.
One of our former employers was about how much pool he had with the Bentonville Public Schools, and he's like, yeah, I got a lot of pool with this place. Anything I want, I can get. But yet he couldn't get courtside seats, but yet you did.
So that was about that.
Okay, I just want to make sure that was the same time then. But yeah, you should be getting credit for that then if they copied off of you and your...
Look, hey, and Passmore's my guy, but come on, Passmore. You know that y'all copied off of me. Because look, Bentonville start doing it for the rest of their games, and then the Razorbacks copied off of me. But, hey, I mean, you know, it's my donation to society.
I remember being at a game there one time, and the governor was there, but he couldn't get mid-court seats. He had to sit courtside towards the baseline. I'm like, well.
Right, yeah, because we had Mike Anderson. We had
John Calipari.
Calipari was there.
The governor couldn't even sit at mid-court.
Oregon coach was there.
Dane Allman?
No, his assistant was there.
Oh, okay.
Bill Self was there.
Yeah.
Mr. Everett was there, the governor got to sit at half court.
The governor got to sit down at the baseline.
So if I'm looking, Mr. Everett, Mike Anderson, Cal, the guy that's at Nebraska right now, that was with Chicago Bulls. What's his name?
Hoiberg.
Fred Hoiberg was there. So you got all those guys. The governor has to sit at half court. I mean, has to sit on the baseline.
Doesn't pay enough, I guess. Oh, geez. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Justin is in Paris. What's going on, Justin?
Morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I hadn't called in a while, but I've been listening. I had to up my blood pressure medication a little bit the past couple football seasons. But my two questions were, you guys think there's a coach out there right now looking at the Razorback football team, you know, knowing that this one we got now, he's not going to last a whole lot longer, and saying, you know, I think I could have took these guys to 4 wins, 5 wins possibly right now so far through the schedule. And second question was, who's the who's the coach at Appalachian State? Is that not an Arkansas guy coaching up there? And
Eli Drinkwitz. He's not an Arkansas Razorback guy, but he's from Alma. Is where he's from.
Right. Okay. I knew he's. I thought he was from Arkansas. I just seen where they were ranked in the top 25 here the other day, and I was thinking he was from Arkansas. But
yeah,
I just
gonna
see what you guys thought about that, and I'll hang up and listen to you.
All right. Appreciate the phone call, Justin. Yes, he's from Alma, and he also coached at Springdale.
He was coaching at Alma when he first got out of school and left Alma as a junior high coach to go to Springdale.
Post Malzahn.
And then from there, I believe.
Went to Auburn.
No, he went that, and he ended up at Arkansas State. And then when Gus left Arkansas State to go back to Auburn, he stayed. Mm-hmm. And with the guy that ended up at Boise State with Hardison. And now he's the head. Then he ended up at North Carolina State as the OC. And from there, head coach at App State.
So he's the head coach now where?
At App State.
No, thank you.
Well, he's taking App State. They're a top 25 team. So
nah, I'm out on that. Nah. Like I'm not signing up for any of that. So if that means that you just have to open up the checkbook a little bit more, and then I know from that point, it's like, well, where's all this money coming from? I don't have the answer.
$20,000 court size. You know. That's what
I don't have the answer to that, but no, no more experiments. No more,
I'm fine. And I'm fine with that opinion because.
Yeah, no. And I guess you said that he was in Springdale and Alma. So I know he has some type of friend or family that's listening. Has nothing to do with him. I don't even know what his name is. And I'm sure y'all just mentioned it. I just wasn't paying attention.
Eli Drinkwitz.
But he is at App State. No, thank you. Yeah. I am out.
That's his first and only head coaching experience at the college level. So. Yeah.
OWT out.
And just to throw in another element
O-O-W-T.
To it.
OWT.
Yeah. Out.
Out.
This is his first year at Appalachian State. And last year at App State, they still went 11-2, 7-1. So it's not like he just got this Houston nut type turnaround in one year. So I get it. It's just at this point in time, and I know that we've heard a lot because we have like JT and Hot Springs texting and Skip Holtz. You know, it's just like you're just trying to find any and every name.
We're not to the point where we need to be naming names.
No, I don't. Because like, no matter what.
Let me ask y'all something. I'm not for this, and I don't know how many people are actually for this. What are y'all's thoughts on Kevin Kelly having something to do with the Arkansas program? I'm not saying that he is the head coach. That is not what I'm saying. But is this another like Gus Malzahn and nobody has given him an opportunity?
I don't know. Because
what are y'all's thoughts?
Well, my thought on that and just like with any other coach.
And hold on. Kevin Kelly is the head coach of
PA.
Pulaski Academy.
Yeah. Yes. My opinion on that is like if you're a great coach, you'll get great jobs. You'll get great opportunities. Like I don't think that nobody sits back and doesn't hire somebody or doesn't want to have somebody come up if there's not something about them that they feel like would not work.
Okay, maybe so. If Gus didn't have those five guys, though, and Arkansas wasn't not struggling, but Arkansas wasn't where they wanted to be, I don't think he would have ever gotten an opportunity.
And maybe not. Maybe not. So, like I said, it's not a foolproof thing. It's just a matter of I think that there's certain elements about certain coaches to where, you know, it's kind of like Brent Venables over at Clemson. Everyone's wondering, the guy's been so amazing for so long. How's he not gotten an opportunity? There's got to be some reason why. That's kind of how I look at it.
And also, too, if he's making, is he making $2 million?
I think he is, at least close to it. Because I paid coordinator in college football.
$2 million to be a defensive coordinator where you know you're going to have a lot of talent. Or $3
million
to go take on a project of a guy that just got fired. So he probably, there's probably a reason why the guy got fired.
Yeah. I think Kevin Kelly's, he's a very successful coach, don't get me wrong, but the main draw about him is just his unorthodox way of playing with never punting and onside kicks and all that, which would be really fun.
You think he would do that in college? Like,
you'd have to.
No, there's no way it's 4th-and-5 against Alabama. You're going
at your own 20.
You're gonna lose by 80.
It'd be fun. Maybe that's why he's not getting a job.
And he sometimes punts. I mean, it's not a 100% thing.
Right, but just.
Oh, hold on. Is it?
Yeah.
I thought he was only punting like once, and it's not often,
but it's not an absolute.
Yeah. And still, I think it'd be like, it's like one of those things, I'd be interested about it, but as long as it's not Arkansas. Like, you know, like.
Maybe at Ole Miss.
Yeah, like go to Ole Miss or even a place like Baylor, you know, like, okay, do it there. Yeah. See how it goes.
And I'm not saying that I'm for it because I'd rather go get somebody a lot more proven.
Yeah, which is fair.
You know, but heck, We thought Beelum was proven.
Yeah, we saw that win.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.